I'm delighted to be joined on the line by Patricia Towey. She's from the Huntington's Disease Association of Ireland. Good afternoon, Patricia. How are you?
Good afternoon, Eric, and to your, all your listeners there in Yall, and thank you for talking to us.
Well, we're absolutely delighted to have you on here because I suppose, first of all, it's a disease that's probably not that well known. So can you tell us a little bit about the disease, first of all, Huntington's disease?
Yes, of course. It's a hereditary neurodegenerative brain condition. So it affects a person's movement, thinking, and their mood. And symptoms can be subtle at first. It might be that a person has, you know, a jerky involuntary movement, or for others, they might have problems with thinking and organizing. Mm-hmm. And for some, it might be changes in mood and personality, and they might start to withdraw from, you know, their family, friends and colleagues. So it starts off fairly subtle, but as the disease progresses, a person can live for 15 to 25 years. And at the later stages of the disease, it's very challenging, and a person will need support and help with all aspects of daily living.
Yeah, so I presume the key here is it's a degenerative disease, which it I presume doesn't get better or doesn't alleviate at any time.
That's exactly it, yes. And so because I suppose that people can live a long time and there's a wide range of symptoms and, you know, they vary very much from one family member to the next. So it's very important that people get support and help early on so that they can have a better quality mm-hmm. of life.
Can I just ask Patricia, what you said it's hereditary. Is it only hereditary, or can it be got some other way? I mean, it's all got to do with the brain, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good question, actually. Yeah. For the majority of people, you know, they may already have experienced it in their family, but for some, there could be a misdiagnosis.
Mm-hmm. Or, right.
You know, some people will say, "Well, my grandmother had Parkinson's, or my dad had Alzheimer's or whatever," you know, and then it could actually have been that they were misdiagnosed because, you know, the person themselves now is diagnosed with Huntington's. So in the past, it was often misdiagnosed.
And what kind of test is there for that?
There is a genetic test, so people can find out if they have the gene by doing a simple blood test.
Right.
Usually that would involve getting a referral from your GP if they see signs. You get a referral to the neurologist, and the neurologist will then do the blood test. It's a genetic test. And for people who already know that it's in their family, mm-hmm. they can do what's called a predictive test once
right.
18 years of age. They can decide whether or not they want to find out whether they carry the gene, which will one day develop the condition. Now, that's obviously a very challenging thing to decide upon because, you know, maybe for four-fifths of people at risk, I suppose, they would prefer not to know. So it's usually around a fifth of people who decide to go ahead and have a predictive test. And people can decide that at different ages if they know their parent has the
yes.
condition or is living with it or whatever. You know, they might decide because they want to start a family of their own, or for some people maybe it's because they've already got to the stage where they have adult children themselves and they want to be able to tell the children that they're not, you know, that they didn't pass it on to them.
Yes.
So, but there is a test available, yes.
And if they do have the gene, does it still necessarily mean that it'll manifest or they might just get away with it?
No, if a person has the mutated gene, then they will develop.
They will develop it, yeah.
Stage.
Okay.
Their lives, yeah. Usually, I suppose the age of onset is somewhere between 35 and 55 years of age.
Right.
But for others, they might develop it in their late 60s. And then for 5 to 10%, unfortunately, they'll develop it earlier, perhaps even under the age of 20. And that's called juvenile Huntington's disease.
So it can be a juvenile one. Yeah, that's interesting. And tell me.
More rare.
Yeah, it. Like if people suspect something like that, they can go and call yourselves or go to doctors or anything like that. But is it quite hard, other than the blood test, to to pick it up?
Yes, well, I suppose because it is mostly runs through families, and a lot of discrimination associated with it. People might have difficulty, you know, Huntington's disease is one of the conditions that's mentioned on, you know, driving licenses or seeking a mortgage or health insurance. You may be asked whether there's a family risk of Huntington's disease. You know, so people are very reluctant to talk about it. And therefore, you know, there's a lack of awareness. But if it's in a family, I suppose people, you know, will already know that they're at risk, but they might choose to, I suppose, get on with their lives and try and ignore it, or, you know, they might be very fearful. So it can impact on people in different ways. But usually, you know, there may be signs of it in the family. For others, of course, it can be a complete bolt out of the blue that they didn't realise that their father or their mother had it. You know, they might have died from some other condition and it was never obvious, or like that, they presumed it was a different condition. So,
yeah,
the majority of people, I suppose, might experience it. Now, there are cases where there's a new mutation. We actually all carry what's called a Huntington gene.
Right.
But the mutated gene is the one that causes the problem.
Okay, yeah.
When that gene mutates and changes, and then it causes the disease. So it's a long process, and I won't get into the science.
Okay.
But basically, it can continue to the harmful gene can continue to kind of expand over time, and so, you know, it might appear in a future generation, even if it's not in the current generation. So
yes,
I have the gene, perhaps it might be I mightn't see the condition myself, but I might have passed it on to my child, and it might emerge in the future.
Yeah. So you're never really sure. Patricia, I'm just after getting a question in here from a listener. And if a family member is diagnosed with Huntington's disease and other members of the family want to be tested, they have to go through a process of counselling, etc., over a number of months. And they want to know, why is this necessary when people are told every day that they have terminal illnesses and they haven't had counselling?
Yeah, well, I suppose that is a good question. I think the reason that at the moment there is genetic counselling with Huntington's disease, and obviously with other conditions as well. There's a genetic form of Alzheimer's, so there are other conditions as well where people need counselling. And I guess it kind of lets people know exactly what it is they're taking on. You know, I suppose, you know, initially people might think, yes, I really need to find out. I want to know whether
yeah.
it or not. But in time, if you get to think about it for a bit and you discuss it openly with a genetic counsellor, the idea is to make sure that the decision is yours, that there's no kind of undue influence maybe from other family members or from potential partners or whatever, you know, that you're making the decision and you're fully aware of what the consequences are. And also maybe by trying to...
But this is just for a test, you're saying. I mean, I couldn't rock up and just go for a test. I would have to go for counselling or something. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. If you I suppose you can get tested if you have symptoms. You know,
yes.
You mentioned there that people with other terminal conditions, excuse me, might find out that they have a condition without counselling.
Yeah.
It's the same really for Huntington's. Once you have symptoms, you can go and get the test done and you don't need the counselling for that.
Right.
But if you are to find out whether or not you have the gene, it's something that's going to happen in the future. It's not something that you're going to have to live with today.
Immediately, yeah. So, yeah.
And I suppose the fact is that there's some amazing research going on at the moment, there's no treatment or cure yet. So there's no medical advantage, I suppose, in finding out whether or not you have it just yet. So it's something then that you're going to have to live with it once you find out.
So you're kind of saying, why necessarily worry about something that mightn't affect you for years down the line?
Well, that's, I think, what the genetic counselling is there to...
Yeah.
help a person decide whether it's something, because for some people they might think, well, I really need to know, I want to plan my life, I want to decide what I want to do in the future.
Yes.
And I feel that I don't want the indecision of wondering whether or not I have it, so I really want it. And then for other people, they might think, you know, there's no point in me knowing just yet. I might delay getting the test for another 5 or 10 years or whatever. So, I mean, we always say it's a complete individual decision, and it should be as such, that it's up to the person themselves to decide whether it's best for them.
Okay, thanks for that. That should answer that question. And tell me, what kind of services are available for sufferers at the moment?
Yeah, well, I suppose there is general health services. The Huntington's Disease Association was set up by family members. It's a voluntary organisation set up to provide information and support to people. And I work for the association as an information and services officer, and then we have a part-time family support officer. So we're quite a small organisation, but what we do try to do is make sure people have services that they need. So general health services would be, you know, your GP, your public health nurse, but also then rehabilitative services like physiotherapy, occupational therapy, dietitian, speech and language therapy, psychology, you know, community mental health services, then of course neurology and genetics is involved. So there's a wide range of supports and services available, and people often aren't aware, you know, what they need or what they should be looking for. Exactly. And because it is a rare condition, you know, sometimes the public health nurse or the GP might not be aware of some of the, you know, the treatments that can help, or might not be as quick to refer somebody as you know, might be beneficial. So we try to ensure that people get those referrals as soon as possible. And then, you know, the association itself can help with support and with counselling and I suppose providing information to people and to their health professionals. And then there is, you know, people, as I mentioned, see a neurologist, and there's a neuropsychologist in Beaumont Hospital who runs a specific Huntington's disease clinic, which is really good because he has a lot of awareness around Huntington's now, and some of his team as well. So himself and others in the department are trying to expand, I suppose, and have a more dedicated service for Huntington's disease.
And can I just ask you, Patricia, is there many sufferers of that in Ireland?
Well, we estimate that there's probably about 750 people with the condition, but then, you know, there could be up to 3,000 people at risk. And sometimes, obviously, it can be very challenging for people to live with the knowledge that they may, you know, get the condition, or maybe people have already done the predictive test.
Yes.
You know, they have the gene. So it affects a wide range of people. You know, it's not just the person themselves. You know, their partner or spouse then has to worry about maybe their children and the next generation.
Yes,
and
yeah.
If people are married themselves and are at risk, you know, then that's a burden for their spouse or partner as well. So there can be up to 3,000 people at risk, and then obviously, you know, the
wider family and who will affect, as you say, after that as well. It is quite a lot. Yeah. Well, Patricia, just before you go, I suppose, just to let people know, if they're looking for more information on Huntington's disease, I presume you have a website and all that kind of thing?
That's right, absolutely. It's the website is www.huntingtons.ie, and I'd encourage people to have a look. I didn't mention research, but there's a lot of promising research going on. There's the first clinical trial to target the root cause of Huntington's. At the moment, there's 791 people registered. Now, it's not happening in Ireland, but we have some dedicated professionals that are trying to get future trials to Ireland. And there is some observational studies that people could take part in. So I would encourage people to have a look at our website or give us a call for more information. And thank you very much for...
Thank you very much, Patricia. Pleasure talking to you.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye.